And each kid is slow to come about, so at least 2 years apart, 2.5. So it's not like you have all 7 all at once. And I sure didn't know anything about birthing babies.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to episode 2 of the Adler.TV show. One quick thing. Whenever I give advice or words of wisdom on this show, please know that I am talking to myself. I just hope that I follow my own good advice. So when I say, make good decisions, it's not because I make good decisions, it's because I need to make good decisions. Now, on to the episode. Today's guest is Stacy Lynn Harris. She's an author, a chef, a blogger, and a cooking personality. She has one husband named Scott and 7 kids, and they are all amazing. I recorded this episode in her 1800s-style southern home outside Montgomery, Alabama. You might hear dogs or chickens in the background. But don't think redneck trailer park house. Her home was just featured in New Pioneer magazine. If you're watching this video, not just listening, just behind us, you can see Stacy Lynn's kitchen. It's nothing crazy or out of the ordinary. Sure, it's nice to have an island and a big fridge, but it really doesn't matter. This is just a room. It's what happens in this kitchen that makes this place special. This is where Stacy Lynn cooks for and cooks with her family of 9. This is where the meals are made that bring her family together. So, maybe you don't like to cook, or maybe you think you're bad at it. But chances are, you at least like to eat, and you probably have a family and parents and grew up in a house too. And you probably like being healthy and saving money. So this episode is less about cooking and more about what you do inside your house that makes it your home. Hey, what's up? It's Adler. I am here at the home of Stacy Lynn. She is an author. She's a blogger. She's a host of her own show. She's a social media queen. She is a pioneer woman. She's like Paula Deen, without the racism, of course. ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Stacy Lynn.
Oh, thank you.
That Paula Deen thing. Do you know her? Do you know
I don't really know her, but okay. I've watched her.
She was the first person for me to see in this new social media world that we're in now, internet age, to have the mob with pitchforks come after her in such an insane way.
I know.
And in such an insane level. And for her to fall so far. But I was just reading something that her cookbook sales actually went up during that time period.
Well, I think because, you know, I was so busy at the time, I didn't just watch the story like crazy, but I think that she was under a lot of strain, and it was back like years and years ago when this happened, and I think it was around a really bad time. Weren't people robbing her? I mean, is that what that was?
Well, happened? She had like a... Okay, I think that she built such a gigantic, insane, crazy empire all around
her. Right, right.
She didn't have anybody around her to check her. And you gotta have people around you that check you. You know what I'm saying? That's why people don't want to be surrounded by yes men or yes women or whatever. But the lens of what you're talking about, she was working at a bank before her whole cooking life, you know, took off.
Right.
She's working at a bank and she got held up by an African-American guy. I think that it's easy to maybe have a little bit of prejudice in your heart and not know it, and then have a traumatic experience like that, blow it to a whole new level.
Right.
And then to maybe have like jokes that you say that you maybe don't mean, but if you say them enough, eventually you might not even think twice about it, you know?
Right.
And so, I think all those things came together and ended up kind of, but you know, she's actually made a few poor choices besides that. Like with her whole thing was like butter. Let's get some more butter on this thing.
Right.
And she had diabetes for many years and kind of hid that too, you know? And you're like still pushing like,
That makes you have diabetes.
Yeah, she had a children's book, a children's cookbook, where like cheesecake was part of breakfast and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you're just like, okay, well, I don't know how honest it is. And she came up in this walled off world. Like, it's not like that anymore. Like, you have to share your daily life on social media now.
Oh my gosh, every day.
Yeah, and she lived in this walled off world, and I feel like she wasn't ready for the microscope to be put on her and her life. And I mean, she's still got her restaurant. She's still got her empire. So I'm not too worried about her. And this wasn't meant to be like a rip on Paula Deen time.
And I don't think it is.
No,
I think it's just really telling the tale of the times.
Yeah.
Because everything we do now is with the microscope. And like, we've been remodeling a country place. And so every Sunday I do these live videos with that. And so because of that, showing up every week, people see what I'm doing. They see my life. They see my kids. They see and see people that used to be in entertainment, they could keep their kids completely away. But because people can find people so easily, if they know your child's name, like I'm kind of careful. No, you know, I don't let my kids have like say what their birthday is, you know, online. And I don't say what my birthday is online. I mean, there's just stuff that I try to do to keep from everything being completely wide open for your kids. Because I mean, I'm sure, you know, we have 7 kids and so far they've been like great, but I would not want them to feel like that they couldn't make a mistake ever. And people are looking at you with this just, I mean, microscope. And she wasn't ready for it. And she didn't prepare for it. And she had lived a life without it for so long. So, it's different. Your integrity is seen whether you want it to be or you don't.
We've talked about this a ton. We've talked about social media strategy a ton.
Oh, wow, yes.
Because it's really important I don't really like it. If you look at my stuff, yeah. Like I don't post very often. I post like once every 2 months.
Well, yeah, but you still have people because you're out. But if you're dependent on it, you know, then you have to pretty much produce. And so I'm doing, and I'm on several TV shows, but that only gets you so far. I mean, even if you say that you have one all the time, I mean, I know people that have one all the time, a TV show, and they're still not, their numbers are not that great on social. And people want to know you, and they want to interact with you, and they want to talk to you and ask you questions, and they at least want to see what you're doing on a daily basis. And so I'm like, you know, I'm posting 2 times a day, you know, at least on Facebook and Instagram and trying to on Twitter, and I've actually had to have help, but it is me. You know, but I've had to have help scheduling that because I can't keep up with it and run our home. I mean, we homeschool too. And so I'm the sole person in charge of their education, all their education from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And, you know, and if I fail at that, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
So it's a very big responsibility. And so this thing that I'm doing, it takes a lot of time.
You've had a few of our videos that we've done do really, really well.
Yeah.
And that's been awesome. That's been really encouraging been to me that like, yes. I feel like I'm doing my job kind of right.
You
know,
are.
In a few ways. But we've also had videos not do, you know, like not do anything.
And for no reason. I mean, you know, because I'm thinking the content's not any worse and the other's not really any better. I think it is when you post it, and if Facebook or if Instagram or whoever, if they decide to show it, it's up to them. So that's pretty hard. And that's why I really rely on my website. But I have a team of people. And that's another thing that I really feel like if you want to go the next step that you want to, you need to get a team around you that can help you to do that.
You're talking about Facebook or Instagram, like if they want it to be seen. And they say that it's like an algorithm thing. They make it seem like they're not choosing, but I we've seen that that's not true. They've been shown and it's been proven that they've, you know, they've reduced the footprint, so to speak, of more conservative outlets.
Right.
That's definitely happened. I do the video production for the Rick and Bubba Show. That's my main gig. That's my real job. And we've seen our videos go from like average 100,000 views to an average of 10,000 views.
God, that is huge.
That's why, like you were talking about, you have to have your own website.
Right.
And you have to not just count on Facebook. Because like, what if Facebook, all of a sudden, they change their algorithm again?
Right. And which they will. I mean, they're always doing that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you,
and it's for people that are trying to like do something and make something, like Stacey Lynn has made something from scratch. no cooking pun intended. You just got to work hard at it. You have to be consistent. The goal can't be, I want to be huge on Facebook.
Yes.
The goal has to be.
That's right. And you've taught me that, not to rely on one outlet.
Yeah.
You have to be everywhere because everybody's not on Facebook.
The goal can't be to be, I'm big on Snapchat. Okay, what happens when it folds? Like Vine, you know?
Yeah, right.
Vine is gone. But there are people that were huge on Vine.
That is frustrating.
And if the goal is to get huge on Vine, what happens when Vine goes away? So the goal has to be to really connect with people. For a little bit of background, Stacy Lynn and I have cooked, she's cooked. I have cut a ton of videos for her. We've done so many cool dishes. And when it comes to like salt and butter, you put a lot on there, you know, like you do, but you're also transparent about like, oh, these apple dumplings are so good. I could eat three of these and that would be my dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like this, three apple dumplings wouldn't be my dessert from a gigantic meal, you know, already.
No,
you're very,
I wouldn't even do three for my dinner.
Right. Like you're very honest about the caloric intake or the caloric content of your foods, and you're not disingenuous about there aren't any consequences. You know, like you have mentioned that several times, and you do healthy stuff, and you've mentioned before, like your mom was all about this organic, natural, fresh, local lifestyle when you were a kid, like before it was cool. Like now it's cool. You see Whole Foods is the thing. It's everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And farmers markets. And it's cool to do that kind of stuff now, but it's also healthy, which is great. Like that's an awesome thing. But, you mentioned your mom was,
she always had my stepdad on a diet. And so he had heart problems. And so she was really good about, you know, making sure that he ate the right way. So I don't know. I know that I was health conscious because of that. And we did do a lot of the fresh foods. We never went through, like McDonald's or anything. I didn't think anything about McDonald's until I got married and started having kids. And then every once in a while we'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so tired. I can't make it. And, you know, let's figure something out. And then we'd go through the drive-thru. But before, when I was growing up, I never did fast food. So I think that I have always watched what I put in my mouth, always. And especially during college, because you know, that time where it's the freshman 40.
Yeah. I was going to say freshman 15, freshman
there you
40
go.
Is insane. Yeah, that's 40. Very bad.
I didn't do that, by the way. It's hard. It is hard to stay in shape, especially after seven kids. It is really, really difficult. So you have to eat right.
I can't believe you've had seven kids.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe that.
Oh, yeah.
None of them are twins.
No.
And none of them are adopted?
No.
Okay.
No, I had them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just stayed pregnant for like 14 years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it was, 7 years and 7 years of that first year after, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
14 years, yeah. And each kid is slow to come about, so at least 2 years apart, two and a half. So it's not like you have all seven all at once. And I sure didn't know anything about birthing babies.
Did you always want to have a gigantic family?
No, I didn't even want to have one. So no. I was an only, well, I grew up as an only child. I do have, but I didn't grow up with my sister and brother. But I didn't want to have any at all because, gosh, they were loud. I would go to a restaurant and I'd be sitting next to people and I'm like, oh my gosh, why did they sit me here? But then, and I know that's awful.
That is hilarious.
Because now I see the prejudice with families that come in because I was in that seat where if you have like a baby, they'll sit you back almost in the kitchen. And they'll take you to the very back of the place. And then they'll, you know, they make sure that you're kind of set apart. And the thing is, our kids minded really well. And they didn't run around the table. They weren't loud. And they would still, you know, but they, of course, people don't know that. And they would direct you, you know, to the back. But, you know, I was one of those people. I was one of the people that was saying, hey, I don't think I'm going to have kids. And then it was about a year after we had been married. And I called Scott at his work, and I went, oh my gosh, I was in law school still, And so we were like, I said, the worst thing has happened. And I, and he was like, yes, the cat is no longer around, you know? So he was thinking something happened to the horrible cat we had, which I love the cat. And so I said, I'm going to have a baby. And he was like, oh, you know, he was like, that's great. You know, he was all excited about it, but I was like, not ready for it. I was pretty much devastated. And, you know,
it's scary. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew my mom was going to panic and, because I still was in law school and, you know, she wanted me to succeed and didn't want this to, you know, be a problem. And but it isn't. And it's exactly what should have happened. And I am so glad that it did happen because we were able to start our journey off in marriage with children. And, you know, we didn't have to get really used to anything. I mean, after 5 years of being married and you have this system down and then you have this baby and, you know, and it is good to get acquainted and to, I guess, we just didn't have that. So I don't know what it's like. Then we decided to have the other babies and just decided to kind of, you know, just, we wanted to have more, you know, we wanted to be fulfilled and to have a full life. And, you know, we just decided that's what we were going to do.
Yeah, my brother has two kids. My wife and I, in fact, my wife wants to have triplets.
Oh, wow.
Or twins.
Oh, my goodness.
So she can just go one and done. Pregnancy and done.
Yeah, pregnancy's hard.
I'm like, baby, I don't know if it works that way, sweetheart. I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can just ask for that. Because I hear, like, the first one supposedly is easier to come back from, and then the second one.
Oh, yes. I mean, the first and second are okay. Both of them were okay. Third one, okay, but there were some changes. And so after that, it was like all she wrote. And it was so difficult. And it took double the time to get better. I mean, to get back in shape. It was like 3 months after the first one, 6 months after the second one, 9 months after the third one. And then it's at least a year after the fourth and all the others, you know, to come.
Get any alone time? Did you have to say, hey guys, I need my alone time?
Oh my goodness. That, if
you have to say that seven times, like, hey, I need some alone time. Hey, I need some alone time.
I could say that all day long, but
I need some alone time.
You magically say, okay, I need my alone time.
and then it happens.
No. So no, but, and I grew up having like all alone time. I mean, I didn't have any people in my house except my mom and my dad. And, you know, and so I would go to my room and just do whatever I wanted to, you know, for hours on end. So it has been, and I'm a real extrovert, but I really crave being alone.
Oh, for sure. Me too.
Oh my gosh. And so I didn't really get that except during nap time. So that is one place that I would say to any young mom, you make sure that you have your children taking a nap. I had my oldest one taking a nap till he was like seven. He didn't know any different.
Right.
You know,
that's
like,
so funny.
Yes. And then they had a bedtime at 8 o'clock at night. But the thing is that my oldest is now very scheduled. And so that's a good thing, but it can be a detriment too, because, you know, it's like if people ask you, hey, let's go out. And, you know, and he's like, well, I'm going home at 10. I mean, he has just got that schedule down.
Sure.
So, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah. So it works out, but no. So that alone time is something that I even still miss, but I've always had a quiet time. You know, I'd get my Bible out and pray. And that was always at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when my kids went down for a nap. I ran into this girl at the grocery. This was after I had my second baby, and I ran into her at the mall, and I had the babies with me because I took them everywhere I went. She didn't have hers with her. But hers wasn't a baby. It was like a 1 year old. And she goes, isn't it the most wonderful thing? And I was like, where are you from? I mean, I'm thinking, this is hard. This is really, really hard. And then I felt bad for saying anything. But then I found out that she had, like, nannies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm thinking, well, okay. So, or if you had your mother stay over, you know. But my mom was working at the time, and she couldn't really do that. So, but to be at home, especially with a sick one, like one that has colic or one that, you know, is has ear infections and stuff like that, it is really, it's a hard thing. And I don't want to discourage people from having kids, because I have loved it, and it has been great. And I wish we even had more than seven. You know, and I would, if I could go back, I would go ahead and have another baby.
Oh my gosh, you're crazy. Your oldest is how old?
He is 24.
And your youngest is?
Nine.
Nine, okay. Mm-hmm. What is it? Four girls, three boys?
Four, yep, that's right.
Four girls, three boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my old, it's my oldest is a boy, the next is a boy, and then the next is a girl. So the two oldest, they have a lot of the same personality in them. And, you know, and but everybody, wow, everybody. We have one that you know, he was like a trapper, outdoorsman, which, you know, all of my boys are pretty much outdoorsy, but he's like major. He likes to work on cars. And
the oldest one's in like med school?
Dental school.
Yeah.
Dental school. Awesome. Third year in dental school. So he's got one more year and then he'll
be out. Is
that
what your husband does as well?
He does.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. And then I have, and then the third one, he likes to do music. Oh, the pie.
Okay. We've got a pie that we have to get out. We just finished shooting like three videos. Okay. Let's get that pie out of the oven.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
You have taught me so many things. I really want you to know that
you really have.
We've done how many videos together?
Oh gosh, a lot. What, like, let's see. I don't know. We're getting up there into the 20s.
20. Yeah, we've done over 20 cooking videos together. And you've taught me a ton of stuff. You really have.
Well, good. Good. And it's so much easier than people think. Like cooking. It's just people think it's really hard, and you almost, if you learn certain techniques, you've got it made. I mean, you don't have to have recipes, which, of course, you know, I make a living off of recipes because, you know, you can buy my cookbooks and you get the recipes. But the technique is so, so important. And once you have it, you're good.
I had a cast iron skillet. It was kind of small and I would use it occasionally, but I didn't really know how to utilize it.
Right.
It's really so much about holding that heat.
Yes.
That
you can
dump a ton of stuff in there and it'll hold on to that heat and it's nice and even. You don't really get hot spots. You can get a nice char on steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Olive
so
oil, salt, pepper, maybe a little bit of rosemary.
Yeah.
Throw that in a piping hot cast iron, and you've got yourself a delicious, delicious steak with a nice brown crust on the outside. Do not overcook it. If it's gray, if it's gray in the middle, go ahead and put some ketchup on it.
I agree with that.
Because
100%.
Because you messed it up. So
yeah.
I was going to say I have a pretty sweet grill.
Yeah.
I have not used it at all this summer. Because I've just been like, you know what? I could just kick on this cast iron right here.
I know.
And just do it, you know?
The only thing you don't get is the smoky flavor.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have liquid smoke, and it's not the same for sure. But
it's not. You're right.
You can add. But I love it. And I'll put butter in just a little bit. Like, mix the olive oil and a little bit of butter in
there. That's right.
And the salt and pepper on the outside. And it will give you that earthy flavor that... It just flavor. It's really good. Or if you have a little bit bacon grease. And you know that, I mean, I don't eat a lot of that or I would be like as big as this house. But a spoonful, you know, here and there to grease your pans and stuff, it makes the flavor so amazing, so great.
It does. And it's so easy and it's so quick and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easy. My grill is kind of messed up. It's like this weird infrared gas. It kind of spreads it out. It sends the gas through a porcelain surface so that it turns it into kind of one big wide flame. Like,
oh, wow.
The flame is you know, 4x8.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like wall of heat coming up. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. But it does this thing where it like blows itself out.
Oh, no.
And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of cooking.
Right. Exactly. I've put like pork tenderloin out there.
Oh, boy.
And then like been like ready to eat. My wife, it's like she's got the sides ready.
Yeah.
And I go out and I'm just like, wait, what's going on here? And I realize I have a cold grill.
That is horrible.
It's terrible.
That is awful. Yeah, I'd be like cast iron all the way.
Yeah.
When something like that happens.
It blows itself out, but it like explodes out. Like it's like woof, like
wow.
That. And it is so scary. And I would sit there and watch it to make sure it's not happening. But at the same time, I'm like waiting for this like terrible, you know, thing to scare me.
Yeah.
And so eventually I was just like, all right, we'll just go cast iron. So this whole summer, I've not done a single thing out on the grill. So I need to fix that situation.
Because
you're right. You don't get that smoke taste. And artificial smoke is great if you don't overdo it. I've had your oven baked ribs and you put the artificial smoke on there, right? And it's delicious.
Yeah.
But I've had people's food before that has too much artificial smoke on there and it like coats your tongue and it's just like, all right, I'm eating
something's
some kind
not quite
of, yeah,
right.
Something's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to use soap on cast iron.
That's right, yeah.
But
yeah.
For some reason I was like scared of water too.
Oh,
so I was like, trying to like scrape out my cast iron.
Well, it makes sense because if you leave water on cast iron, it'll rust.
Right.
So I can see how you'd be afraid of it. But the thing is, if you boil it and put, you know, the water in it and then scrape up the bits, you know, with that water in it or wine or whatever you want to put in it and then get it out right immediately and wipe it with a paper towel, you're good to go.
Oil it. A little bit of oil yeah. afterwards, yeah. Mm-hmm. But wine, people use wine on cast iron?
They do,
well?
But not for long. I mean, you know, it's not good. But, you know, I did the tomatoes. After you've got already a really good seasoned cast iron skillet, yeah. you can do tomatoes in it. You can do acidic food. It's just not at the beginning when you're getting it seasoned. And, you know, and I have old cast iron from my grandmother.
Yeah, you have cast iron literally that is over 100 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a pan in her kitchen that's yeah. over 100 years old.
And, I mean, I cook in it all the time. It's not like something that I, you know, don't use. It's very useful.
Yeah. Your grandma did that.
Yeah. But chickens are great. You got to have chickens, and they're not that difficult.
You have chickens, you have a farm, your husband and your sons,
yeah, yes,
they're
yeah.
actually coming back from a hunt right now. So you guys will harvest a few deer throughout mm-hmm. the season. And then you've got fresh venison that you yeah. know, yep. fresh, organic,
right.
non-GMO,
yeah,
whatever you want it to be.
I mean,
yeah.
it is perfectly great stuff.
Yeah.
And we have pigs on our land, which is not something that anyone should be excited about, but because they destroy your land.
Yeah.
But we so now we have pigs, so you know we don't have to raise our own pigs. We used to raise them, not here, but we would get somebody to do it and feed them what we wanted them and finish them off the way we wanted them to be finished and all that. And the same thing with a cow, but we don't have to do the pigs anymore. We still have to do the cow, but because I like a variety of meat.
Yeah.
And you know I'm kind of known for venison and wild game and stuff like that, but I really love beef. I love it all. I mean, I just think food's great.
You do a great job of making people that are scared to eat venison not aware that they're eating venison. You know, you're like, here, have this Mexican skillet.
Yes, there you go. It's delicious.
It's delicious, yeah. Yeah.
And it really was good.
It really was good. I was walking through your garden and I'm shooting some B-roll or whatever, and there are chickens walking through your garden just biting bugs off of your plants.
I know.
Your chickens
yep.
keep your garden
yep.
working.
It's a perfect little ecosystem because, I mean, we use the chicken manure, put it in the compost bin. And it's not really that great to put right up on your plants because it's too, it's got, the pH is just, you know, really high. But you can put it in the compost bin, and as it goes, it's great once it's mixed in with everything else to spread out there in the garden. But with the chickens walking through there, and, you know, it's just perfect. And then they eat the bugs, and then they give you the eggs that are rich and beautiful color and beautiful to taste, and they're just amazing. Vitamins are higher when they're able to forage like that. They're inexpensive when you buy them. We bought ours over the internet. You can go to the co-op and get them. I didn't really think my kids were serious about it. Scott's kind of like a visionary. So he kind of comes up with a lot of plans that he wants to do, and then half of them, you know, fizzle out. So I'm thinking, this one's going to fizzle. But they were building a little chicken coop, a tiny little chicken coop that would be movable over the land.
Chicken tractors.
Chicken tractor.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he's just doing that because the boys were young and, you know, he's trying to teach them how to build things. But no, I get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning and saying, you know, we have something for you to pick up here at the post office, and it is a loud package. So I was like, oh my gosh. So we had to hurry and make a brooder and, you know, just learn it. But it is so easy. And, you know, it's just not as hard as people think. You got to know everything about it. You don't.
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't have to have as much space as somebody might think too.
Right.
You know,
right.
you can have three chickens
yeah.
in a very small
yeah,
area.
Yeah. yeah.
And then if you have one of those movable chicken tractors,
yes.
you can move that
That's
to
right.
a different area of your yard.
That's
and
right.
they're cleaning up your
yeah.
yard for you.
That's right.
While giving you food.
Yeah.
The eggs really do taste better. the garden is too cool just to be able to walk outside and grab a handful of stuff. And like right, now yeah. I've got my salad. Now I've got my greens that I'm going to substitute instead of noodles.
That's
I'm going to
exactly
do greens
right.
instead.
Yeah.
What you did on that like salmon, ginger.
Yes, it was delicious.
Orange
too.
Glaze.
So good. Salmon. I wish I had that now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Aaron and I actually made that like 3 or 4 times. After,
okay, good.
After cutting that video, I was like, "All right, baby, you got to watch this video, and we're going to do this."
And it's so easy when you see people do it, and you're just like, "God, that is easy! What in the world? Yeah. You know, what have I been missing?"
It was really weird. Us like a month later, us being in the kitchen. Playing the video that I shot and edited.
That's right. That's pretty cool.
And like pausing it and being like, hey, wait a second. I need to, you know,
yeah.
I need to do that, what she yeah. just said. And I'm just like, Chris, you should know this recipe already. You've spent a lot of time. You were there when she did it and you cut this video. You should know it already. But, you know, it goes. I want to get better at talking to people and I want to learn more about the world.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be trying to sit down with a different person each week in 2019. From, you know, concrete, you know, people, you know, masonry. See, I don't even know what it's called. That's why I need to talk to these people.
Masonry
people.
Hey,
yeah,
you
I don't know
need
why.
To. Yeah. You need to talk to somebody that needs to bring back the artisans that we used to have.
Right, right.
We have three, I'm very adamant about this. We have three real working fireplaces in this house. Do you know that only one person in this area, in Montgomery area, and he wasn't even here, he was in Millbrook, and it was an old African-American guy that knew how to lay bricks great, and he did all three of these. Then he did one at our cabin, and to make them draw right, to make them do right, to get the idea of what you want, he was able to figure that out just by us talking to him. No one else could do that, and to bring back that artistry of masonry. People don't even think about it. And
yeah.
it's definitely a cool thing. And it's something that people need to keep doing.
Yeah, you know? You're starting to see this tide turn of the wages of these jobs that people might not
yes,
look at
yes.
as like as one lucrative or as like something that's like to be honestly even respected. But like that's so off. That's so unbelievably
right.
off. But you're starting to see that turn because there are less and less people going into these fields,
right.
less and less people
yeah.
that have this knowledge.
That's right.
And so it's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Carpentry.
Yeah, I don't know what the future holds as far as like what jobs are going to be in demand.
Right.
But I know that those kinds of things will
yes.
are going to continue
Always.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. If you have a job right now that a robot could do. Almost do
yeah
right now you need
right.
to be really worried because
yeah.
you're gonna
yeah.
be replaced by a robot
yeah
like
yeah that's true
it's
yeah.
it's getting crazy so good lucky for us you know
yeah
us,
yeah it's just about
us weirdos
who we are because this is what we do and so nobody else could do it
right
you know I mean anybody could cook but they can't be me
yeah exactly.
so for you know anybody could well I don't know if anybody could do that because what you do
no there are tons of people that can do what I do and there are tons of people that are better than me at what I do I am and that's another reason why I want to sit down with so many different people and talk to so many different people because I feel very what's the phrase a mile wide and an inch
yeah.
deep I feel that
you're deeper than you think
well
you are.
Thanks so much. That's one of my favorite stories that you had been telling, because you'll cook and you'll tell stories, you know, during the videos. Because, like you said, like anybody can cook, but
yes.
nobody's you.
Yes.
You know, you were talking about how, and you were making these fried cornbread.
Cornbread. Some people call it hot water cornbread, which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But my grandmother, she's the one that used to do that.
And you were telling them the story about how you would take your kids over to
right.
your grandma or your mom's house.
No, it was my grandmother's.
Your grandmother's
mm-hmm.
house, and the kids would come with you.
Yes.
And they would play with your toys.
Yeah.
And you're telling this story, and I'm standing behind the camera, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I got transported back to going to my grandparents' house
oh, how cool.
and playing with my parents'
oh,
toys.
Oh, that is so neat.
Being like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old playing with my parents' toys and like being really excited to connect to that time. Like, my parents were a kid, too. My parents did what I'm doing right now. My parents were down on the floor playing with this thing. And I remember thinking, like, these toys aren't that great, but this is fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, the toys looked so, like, primitive and kind of chunky. And I remember doing that. And it's this weird connection to the past that just the image of being on the floor, playing, there's adults standing around talking, and then there's food being cooked in the kitchen.
That's right.
I was a bachelor till I was 30 years old. So lived by myself, cooked for myself, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was really cool. But eventually cooking for yourself,
it's
just
different.
You.
And
it's not as fun, and you can't do as big of batches.
That's right. I would eat cereal if it was me and I was living single. I mean, I love to cook, but if it was just me, you know, I do it really... So my family enjoys it, and I'm like, man, this is, like, so cool, and they love what I'm doing for them and all that. But I would eat cereal every night because, I mean, I know the calories that are in it, and I could count them, and I, you know, and I'd be like, okay, I can have this big of a bowl. I had this today, and it would be more manageable. It wouldn't be as fun, but that's what I would do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even me, you know, that cooks all the time.
I love to cook. So I cooked for myself all the time. I cooked for, you know, one person for, you know, 10 years. But it does eventually get old, and it's just nice to sit and talk and share. And food is this thing that we all have to do. It's this crazy drug, food is.
Yes.
That just, you know, that we all...
You crave
required.
It.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, you can be a different person from a different side of the world, but you all know what it's like to be hungry, and we all know what it's like to eat something that makes our tongue just be like, whoa, this is incredible. Like, we all know what that feeling is like.
And it's a unifier. We can go across the sea, and we may not know the same language as the people over there, but we can learn it in the kitchen. We can learn it because they'll be saying spoon, you know, hand me the spoon, and they're going to say it in their language. And I think that would be the easiest way to just immerse yourself, you know, in another language is to just go visit the kitchen.
That's really, really cool. Yeah. I always try to... wherever I go, eat what they eat.
Yes.
Eat what the locals eat.
Yes. Or if you go to Cincinnati, then you need to go have the, what is it?
The chili?
Chili
dogs?
Yes, but they call it something else, don't they?
Yeah, like Skyline Chili or something.
That's
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
It's like
this
particular kind.
Yeah.
And it's like the ground beef or whatever that's in there is like really,
really,
really
fine.
Thin. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like, and it's like really runny. Almost.
And I don't
like,
love
like,
it.
No.
But I'm going to eat it because it's from there. So if you want to get into something that's easy... I don't say gardening's totally easy, but if you get your seeds from reputable places, I love Walmart and everything, and I'm sure some of their stuff grows, but it's not really local to here.
Yeah.
But if you get things that grow here, you're going to do a good job. Well, my dad had, he has black-eyed peas that he's had, you know, I don't know, 50 years. And he's given me like, you know, a lot of things like that. So I'm growing really the same plant that he grew, you know, 50 years ago.
Food has changed a lot in the last 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look at pears, you look at whatever, like, through selective, you know, breeding, these factory farms have just upped quantity and not necessarily quality.
Right.
And that's why you see, I think that's why you're seeing, like, this explosion of gluten intolerance in a lot of people because they've changed the recipe.
Right.
They've changed what kind of grain it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for high yield. It's for high output rather than these kind of ancient grains that you see that, like, maybe you're not going to get as much from it, and it's maybe going to be more expensive, but it's not going to feel like glue going through your system.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
That's right, yeah.
It's crazy. We have to watch out for that now. Like, 100 years ago, people didn't have to watch out for that. And then 50 years ago, people were just like, yes, we have food.
Yes.
Thank you. You know? But they didn't quite realize the negative health things. And so it's kind of like, it's coming back around, but with education... I feel like people are making a lot better health choices, you know?
I think so too.
But
sure.
your grandma was on it before everybody else. She knew.
She did.
She knew about farmers markets and all the hipstery stuff that you would consider hipstery.
She didn't know why she did it, but she was doing it.
Yeah. Your grandma.
And I think they were less expensive. I think that's why she did it, because she was on a very limited income and grew up, you know, kind of poor. And so they lived off the land before that was something, you know, maybe in vogue, you know, that's just what they did.
Yeah. And because people don't do it as much, it is in vogue now and it's cool. But it's also good for you. And you learn a lot and you're much more connected to your food and you're much more connected to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not in like a be in the world, but not of the world. Yes, you know that saying.
But,
not in that kind of way, but like literally having a better perspective on the world.
Before I finish this episode with Stacy Lynn, let me tell you a quick story. It's about people having no connection to their food. A few weeks after recording this podcast with Stacy, she invited me and my older brother to come hunt some deer, or harvest some deer, on their family farm. And before you jump to conclusions and assume we are all bloodthirsty rednecks with machine guns just mowing down herds and herds of deer, just listen to what actually happens when responsible hunters go hunting. So we got the invite, and my brother and I drove south from Birmingham towards Montgomery.
The farther south we went, we watched as Spanish moss took over the trees, and the roads went from concrete to pavement to gravel to dirt.
And we arrived at the Harris property and got a lay of the land. Scott showed us a map of the property and let us know what kind of deer we would see and what kind of deer we were allowed to harvest. It's so important to know not only the general population of deer in the area that you're hunting, but it's also imperative that you know the age and gender and genetics of an animal before you pull the trigger. Responsible hunters know this.
Bless everybody here today. You name pray. Amen.
Before the hunt, we ate some chili Stacy Lynn had prepared for everyone. It was absolutely delicious, and it was made from pork from hogs and venison from deer that had been harvested on their property by their family. They knew exactly where it came from. Also, there was cornbread she had baked in a cast iron skillet. Again, unbelievably delicious. My brother and I then jumped in the back of a truck to be dropped off about a half a mile from our particular green field. We walked as quietly as we could through the woods to the shooting house and settled in to spy on some deer. A shooting house, by the way, is basically a shed with windows, and a green field is a clear cut of land where deer come to graze for food and to play and flirt and fight. Scott Harris and his sons were dispersed across the property at various shooting houses as well, so my brother and I were among six hunters hunting that day, scattered across the 1,000-acre property. From 2 p.m. until dark, altogether, we saw over 50 deer. And between six hunters seeing 50 deer, one bullet was fired. One deer was harvested because it was the right deer and it was the right shot. It was an old buck that for five long years ran free, doing what wild deer do. Playing, running, fighting, flirting, grazing. And then that deer fell to the ground right where he stood. Not feeling fear or captivity, not feeling pain or suffering, this deer lived a healthy, natural, full, and long life.
I didn't see any blood when we was dragging it. I think that deer died of old age.
You were in the right place at the right time, right there.
He may have had a heart attack.
And from this one deer came 60 pounds of non-GMO, free-range, cage-free, antibiotic-free, lean, high-quality venison that will feed Stacy Lynn's family for quite some time. If you think you can say the same thing about any meat product you consume from a drive-thru or any meat you buy from a value store, you are mistaken. It's not a moral thing. It's not a good person, bad person thing. It's not a rednecks versus civilized people thing. If you consume meat products at all and you think that people should not hunt, you are just uneducated about the reality of the situation. And you don't know where your food comes from. So if you get on social media and raise a pitchfork to stop the hunters, not only do you not have the moral high ground, you are just wrong. You are also much more likely to die if the world ends. Okay, now to wrap up the interview with Stacy Lynn.
One thing, you know, my kids respect wildlife and they respect a garden and they respect gardeners and they respect the food because they know how hard it is to come by. But I don't think most people realize how hard it is to come by.
It'll make you more selective in what you eat too.
Yes.
And never in human history have people had to make that choice. Like, up until this point, people have been just like, food, yes, whatever. Let's get it. Yeah. Let's right. Okay, right. This is food, let's eat it, because we're not going to get a chance to, we might right. not get a chance again. Now, we have an abundance of food.
Yes.
And now, like, calories, large amounts of low-quality calories
right.
are cheaper right. than smaller amounts. Mm-hmm. And that's why you mm-hmm. see these, mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. low-income neighborhoods,
yeah, exactly.
a lot of low-income areas and people and households, lower income households, they look so unhealthy. It's because
right.
it's easier to go buy a loaf of bread for 99 cents
right.
than it is to go buy an avocado or whatever
yes.
you want to, you know,
yes.
a carrot
yes.
or what, a banana, whatever you want to choose, you know. But it's crazy. It's a crazy time. And I think that's one of the awesome and cool things about the internet, in that it is helping educate people as far as what they need to do and what they can eat and what's available to them. And like we were just talking about, you can mm-hmm. you can order chickens on the internet.
Yeah.
You can order a chicken on
no,
the internet.
No.
You can even pick what it's going to look like. They have really cool looks, like the black and white
oh,
ones
yes,
or like
yes,
your classic
yes.
red,
yeah,
amber,
your Rhode
sunburst
Island
Reds one. Yeah.
And Americanas and Fluffy Feet. I forgot what they're called, but you know, we have one out there, and I mean, they're just awesome, and they're so fun to watch. So it's amazing. It's a wild world.
It is, and thanks for showing me more of it. This was a fun time, and I look forward to making more videos with you.
Yeah,
and
I can't wait.
I hope the ones that we just cut do well.
Me too. I think they will.
We'll see. If Zuckerberg, if you're listening, please come on. She's a great
show
lady.
Show it.
And she's not going to burn you with racism like maybe some other people have. I don't
That's
know.
That's right.
And Stacey Lynn, thank you for
yes.
the sweet tea in the mason jar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Appreciate it very much.
That's it for this episode of the Adler.TV show. This week's featured nonprofit is the Christian Service Mission. Christian Service Mission exists to bring together people and resources to change the lives of those in need. They have a food, a housing, and outreach ministries, and from the 1980s through the year 2000, CSM operated Food Source, which networked resources and distributed food to over 60,000 families every month in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas. And they've now transitioned to community development, where they continue to build healthier communities in the city of Birmingham and beyond. Find more info about the Christian Service Mission by going to csmission.org. Next week's show is all about live music and audio recording. Have you ever been to a concert and wondered why it sounded so good? Or heard your own voice on a voicemail and wondered why it sounded so bad? Well, my friend Birch Trotman has been a sound guy for some major touring acts, including Prince, and he's now an audio engineer at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. And he's going to be on the show next week talking all things music, live music, and audio recording. Do not miss it. For information, all the links, and anything else you might need about this show, go to my website. That's adler.tv. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you next week. We were standing on graves just now?
Yeah.
What?